You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. At the bottom of the hour, we're giving away tickets to the Roughnecks game Saturday night down at the Dome, season finale against Panther City. There was a story floating around social media yesterday that apparently, allegedly, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, called Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, and said, hey, don't hire Bill Belichick.
Bad apple.
He's unhirable. Don't do that.
He's a bad one to work with. You won't be able to work with him.
Bob Kraft, great human, too.
Straight up unhirable.
Yeah, he also brought you how many Super Bowls there, Bob?
Yeah.
But we have to ask you at 960-960, name and location. Maybe we'll mix in a few calls. A
couple Roughnecks tickets
online. Who is
the
most unhirable person at Sportsnet 960, The Fan? Here we go. Who is the most unhirable person at Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and why? The why is the most important thing.
George, what are you doing? The roast is tomorrow, man. Why are you doing this?
960-960, name and location. This is more Patrick and Maddie today. They wanted to go down this road.
Well, I just, yeah.
Yeah, listen, yeah. You got, this is you guys.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to go the coffee route with Bill Belichick, but you guys wanted to go, who's the most unhirable person at Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and why?
Roughnecks tickets on the line.
Okay, get them in, 960-960, name and location. Our next guest, definitely hireable in every sense of the word. A sterling human being, super smart guy.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Sportsnet NHL scouting analyst, the Pro Hockey Group, former director of scouting of the Panthers on the Atlas Beats and Sports Bar guest hotline, Mr. Jason Bukla. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Sterling has never been equated with any sort of description, but I'll take it for today. It's
Damn
a good
right.
way to start the day, so I'll take it. Yeah,
damn right. I've been wanting to ask you this question. Is the number two overall pick in the NHL draft a blessing and a curse all at the same time?
In this draft cycle, or generally speaking, in this draft cycle, I would say that it is a little bit. Yeah, for sure. It's one of those years that, you know, I guess if I was holding on to number two, if that's where I fall in the lottery, because I'm literally going to be staring at probably three or four guys that I value equally, I would suggest, I would pick up the phone if it rang and, you know, if somebody's really aggressive and they want, say, the Levshinov kid out of Michigan State, the right shot D in number two, and I'm sitting on Siliev, the big shutdown defenseman, and I've got him, you know, in that same area, I can drop back a few slots and pick up another pick somewhere else. So, yeah, it can work both ways this year. That's for sure. It's not like back in whatever 2013 when it went McKinnon then Barkov. You know what I mean? Like when we took Barkey, it's nothing like that. That's for sure.
I wanted to ask you about this big defenseman in Russia. A lot of fan bases will hear you're drafting a defensive defenseman in the top five and not be very excited. Why should fan bases be excited about this guy?
Well, 6'7", 211, in around there. It's always hard to know exactly what they weigh coming out of Russia, but this is a huge human being. He's an elite skater. Like, he's got, like, Jay Bouwmeester type of feet. Like, he's, for his stature, it's incredible. So, you know, when you think about the value of the Zdeno Charas when they were on really good teams, and, you know, obviously his leadership took hold as his career went, you know, evolved. But when you think about someone like a Cale Makar, and if you could pair this tree with someone like that, and you know, he's got that spatial defending, he can track up and down the ice, he's not going to really bring a lot of offense, but do all those other things to take care of the zone. It's hard to put into words, guys, how much space he takes up and how great a skater he is for his stature. So it's too attractive to overlook.
How much more leash does a defenseman get than a forward when it comes to prospects, Books?
Well, I mean, after you draft them, I would suggest to you that the leash is definitely longer because, in my estimation, it takes goaltenders and defensemen a lot longer to develop into full-time National Hockey League players. The responsibility of a defenseman as well is magnified because everybody sees when somebody breaks down defensively, if you pinch up on the wall in the offensive zone and you're late, coming back or you blow a tire somewhere on a zone entry against you. And, everybody sees that, but they don't see the forward who's late on an offensive zone exit or the winger who's not doing his job on the offside in his zone. So it's just a lot more responsibility, guys. And, it's such a track meet now, the National Hockey League, that these guys are under duress all the time from the offensive blue line right to their goal line. So it's a process for sure.
You're heading to the U18s in a week or two here out in Finland. What do you try and glean from this particular tournament as you're preparing for the draft?
Well, this tournament specifically this year is, I would suggest, even more important than some of the ones in the past. And the reason it is because there's so much parity in this draft class beyond, call it, pick number 18. So there's a lot of work to do for a lot of the teams to figure out, what they value and, where they value a player. And I mean, that sounds simple on just the basics of it. But, when you got teams with a ton of picks, Arizona/Utah, for example, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done here because honestly, there's not enough value in the draft class to solidify that many draft. Like, I wouldn't draft that many players out of this draft class is what I'm trying to say. So there's a lot of work to be done here, a lot of understanding. Team Canada looks really strong, which is nice. The Americans picked up some kids out of the USHL. And then, of course, the year. Not having the Russians, guys, is a big, because there are a lot of Russians in this draft class, and some of them are late birthdays, but again, still not being able to view them on the world stage, that does have a huge impact.
Wanted to ask you about the NHL Central Scouting rankings as well. The final rankings came out. They get updated, I think it's 3 times over the course of the year. How much, as a team in the NHL, were you aware, did you look at these Central Scouting rankings?
I have a great deal of respect for what the guys do in Central Scouting. They have a team there that travels around the world and they unearth a lot of players that, provide us an opportunity to get extra intel on or that maybe, I don't want to say we forgot about them, but certainly, there's so many players. So, they do a fantastic job that way. In terms of building my list, I very rarely, if ever, cross-reference to Central Scouting. And the reason is that Central Scouting build a prospect pool. They're not building a team. So they're just trying to tell you, okay, these are the best looking prospects. These are what we think are A prospects, B prospects, et cetera. They don't even care about the position. They just care about the value of the player. So it's a completely different process that they utilize and they go through compared to us team building. But certainly they do a heck of a job for the league and they unearth a lot of, especially in the middle of the draft, some names that are important for us to view.
Are there any other kind of public resources that teams like to use? Like, I know a lot of teams like to use Cap Friendly every once in a while. If you got to just quickly go and look at someone's cap structure, is there any kind of public resources that you know of that are maybe common for teams to use?
You know what? When I was in Nashville, we never referenced any outside publications at all. Dale in Florida, Dale's a scout by trade. Like he's like a Dale Talon loves to scout hockey, so he was always on top of all the publications, whether it be the Red Line Report or something was coming out that Bob McKenzie's list or Sammy's list here at Sportsnet. Whatever, he was always on top of things like that. So would we use it as a decision-making tool? Absolutely not. But he was always curious, I guess, is the best way to put it. For me personally, I just trust my staff so much and the work that they're putting into it that I can't cross. It's the National Hockey League. I assume the guys in the room are the best of the best in my territory, and that's why we hired them. So I trust their judgment and their view over anything on the outside.
Jason Bukala joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Sportsnet NHL scouting analyst, the Pro Hockey Group. Books, how much does How much does a World Hockey Championship have to do when it comes to prospects and how they're rated? Because obviously the Slavkovsky deal, the pick by the Habs, he did so well at the World Hockey Championships.
Owen Power's another guy.
Owen Power's another guy who excelled for Canada at the World Hockey Championships before he gets picked. Is that a better measuring tool than potentially the World Juniors? Because the World Juniors are playing against your peers, but at the World Hockey Championships, you're playing against men.
Yeah, no, I completely understand the question. For me personally, that two-week window of high leverage, actually, whatever it is, the men's world seems like it goes on forever. So whatever, two-plus weeks. If Macklin Celebrini goes this year, it's not going to mean a hill of beans. It's not going to make a difference, right? But like if I reference back to my other example, back when MacKinnon and Barkov, for example, now, you know, Halifax was winning the Memorial Cup with MacKinnon. Barkey was, you know, in Finland. If those two would have played head-to-head or we would have been able to view them in that event, yeah, that would have had some value. Absolutely, for sure it would have. Because, I mean, they're playing against men. Barkey was already playing against men in Finland, but this is like the world stage against, you know, mostly best on best. Obviously, the North American teams have a lot of players still playing in the NHL playoffs. But, yeah, it's got value. Does it change a lot, though? I'd say that's very dangerous. Like, you'd want to take into the body of work in your conclusion more than that two-week window, but it gives you another measuring stick, I suppose.
We're also kind of keeping an eye on the Flames here. Is anything kind of changed for you as far as players you're looking at in that kind of 8-10 window? I know we've talked about it a couple of times already.
Yeah, not a lot. You know, I still think that we're looking at, you know, there's so many defensemen guys. So that's where I'm strategizing, like, what's Calgary going to do? And the reality is you just have to draft the best player available and manage all of your assets. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, if you go off Central's list, for example, and you compare it even to Sammy's list that he came out with at .ca yesterday, you know, names like Berkeley Catton, T.J. Ginla, you know, Sam Dickinson, the defenseman from the London Knights, they're still standing kind of right in that area where the Flames will be drafting. I will say this, if Zeev Bjoum from the University of Denver makes it to the Calgary Flames pick, you better run up to the stage and draft him. He's got tons of momentum. He's a late birthday. He's just coming off of being the leading defenseman scoring in the NCAA hockey as a freshman. He's a late birthday, so he's done for the year. But boy, oh boy, what a year. He won the World Juniors for Team USA, played high leverage minutes for them, and then was a key part of the University of Denver. So that's a name. You know, we can't ignore the Aginla. I know I keep coming back to the thing, you know, the obvious, which is Teej. And, you know, I don't know in my heart of hearts if the family, I would love to see him in a Flames uniform as a fan. Like, so let me just get that out of the way. I understand it. I don't know that the family, I think Teej could handle it absolutely fine. First of all, after meeting him and talking to him and staring him in the eyes and, you know, how mature he is. I don't know that it would be real comfortable for Jerome, but
yeah,
I mean, it's going to be staring at them for sure, boys.
What do you know about this netminder the Flames signed recently out of the Swedish second league there, Valtteri Ignatiu? Do you know much about him?
I have to be honest, it caught me by surprise. I haven't done enough work on it, so I'm not going to. I'd have to circle back with you on that one. I haven't had time to even break down video on him. But he's coming out of the Allsvenskan, which is, you know, the second division over there. And, I don't have anything for you, unfortunately, on him right now.
Books, obviously the Stanley Cup playoffs get going on Saturday. We have almost all of the matchups nailed down. But one that's very intriguing to me, how tough is that matchup for the Canucks against the Predators in round one?
Curious. I think that on balance, the Canucks have better depth than the Predators do up front. Like the Preds, you know, they've got their top scoring line and they do the bulk of their scoring, right? It's they're kind of top heavy that way, but they've got some, you know, obviously, you know, when you have Roman Josi, it's going to be fun, first of all, for a fan to be able to watch Josi and like Quinn Hughes go head to head in the playoff series. I think that's cool for the game. It's fun to watch. And Josi's going to play about 28 minutes a night. So it's going to feel like he never leaves the ice. I think that, you know, it's interesting. The Preds, they would probably not admit this, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think they felt like this is where they were going to be, right? Like this is kind of a surprise to them. They went on that run. So they bottled some momentum. They feel good about themselves. They kind of sputtered a little bit down the stretch, but all teams do. This is an interesting matchup because they're both kind of good news stories. The Canucks had a great year, a huge rebound season. I like the Canucks depth better. I think that, you got McDonough, you got Yossi, the goaltending battle, I lean Canucks with Demko. He looks healthy. He looked great the other night, actually. So I lean that over Saros right now. But it won't be easy. Like, listen, Nashville, never mind Nash Vegas, just going there as a destination and all the noise that's around that town. It's a hard arena to win hockey games. Like, it's loud. They're really proud there. So I think it'll go six, possibly seven, but I'm leaning Canucks in that series.
If you were to hit Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl with some truth serum, do they want the Kings in round one?
Ooh. You know what? I think that they're at the stage in their I think they're so proud of where they are. They think that where they are, that they're up for any challenge, to be honest with you. I don't even think it would take the truth serum. I think that they would be up for to say that, listen, I'd like to take down the defending champ. So, for me on the outside looking in, do I want them to play LA? Yeah, I want them to play LA. I think that if they can break through that 1-3-1 trap kind of style that LA plays and use their speed and skill, they should win that series, right? Vegas would definitely be much more difficult.
I was wondering how close you think Brock Faber made this Calder race, Books.
I'll tell you, this kid, I think he made it close. I think he made it real close. Not close enough, but real close. And like going back to the beginning of this conversation, we're talking about defensemen. This kid played, 25 minutes a night, north of 25 minutes a night, produced offense. He did absolutely everything for the Minnesota Wild. Any other year, he's hands down the winner. This year, it's an anomaly, and that's not really surprising, I guess. But Brock Faber's a star. Like, this guy's a top-pairing defenseman for eternity for the Minnesota Wild. And what a trade! You think about that, Fiala going to LA, which kind of fit a need there, but what they picked up in Minnesota, wow! Like this kid's an all situation future captain.
Well, how did you look back at the trade then, and how do you look at it now? Because it was Brock Faber in a first round pick that turned into Liam Ogren for Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, no, it's long term. The Wild win this trade. I mean, they get the long term. They get the best player in the deal. Short term, they might not have immediately out of the blocks. But look how soon it's already become that type of a conversation, right? Fiala had some fits and starts to his game this year. He's a hell of a player, so don't get me wrong. Liam Ogren, kind of a bigger power, kind of forward out of Sweden, can play the wing, can play the middle. Leader, he's been part of the leadership group of the teams he's played on over there. But if you go on balance, just the best player in the deal overall, it's going to be Brock Faber. And they had to do it though, guys. Like, let's not forget that they had all the cap constraints and everything too. So how about that for a win? You trade out something that you think because it's going to help your cap, and then that's what you get in return. Wow, awesome.
How fascinated are you by this Jets Avalanche series?
Yeah, I'm nervous about this series on both sides of the ledger, to be honest with you. The Jets are on a heater, I think seven in a row going into tonight. And tonight, doesn't really matter. So let's call it seven in a row. It's going to be a war of attrition because, can the Jets slow down the Avs with their speed game and their track meet and obviously stay out of the penalty box so that they don't give Colorado a chance to get hot on a power play. Goaltending will be the key. I know that that's easy, right? We always keep coming back to that in playoffs, but, who do you trust more? Gorgiev's been really good, but we're talking Connor Hellebuck here. So if the muscle can wear down and take away the speed of the Avs, Winnipeg certainly has a chance, and they have the best goaltender in the series, so that gives them a secondary chance on top of everything else.
Again, a lot's been made of the Capitals making the playoffs with this big minus goal differential, but like that team looked like they were going to be a lottery team at the beginning of the season, Books, and all of a sudden they bounce back. And I think it's a testament to Spencer Carberry and the job they've done to just squeeze into the playoffs. And it's something we talked about on the show, and I want to get your opinion on. Do we not give John Carlson maybe enough credit? Books is one of the elite defenders in the NHL. That guy's had an unreal season, and he was a big reason why they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and let's circle back to like October, November, and even Carlson, like when I scouted the Caps back then, honestly, guys, they looked like they were skating in quicksand. Like they were so slow and nothing. Even the power play breakout was, you know, like watching paint dry. It was horrible. Anyways, fast forward to today, and you know, it was a slow burn. You know, Carlson ends up with, I don't know what he ends up, 50 points or something like that. But he's the guy plays like 26 minutes a night. It's incredible in all situations. And I absolutely think the coach did a hell of a job there. That is not a great hockey team. Like they're okay. Okay. They're just okay. The goaltending is just okay. There's a lot of just okay about that roster. But the one thing that Spencer Carberry did was he's just stayed consistent, right? Like he was never too high, never too low. He has a great bench demeanor. And, you know, they got lucky here and there, no question. And some people around the consistency and the consistent message that he provided, while there was like houses burning down in the division and that conference around him, like Philly just imploded, right? Yep. You know, Pittsburgh was out of it. Then they came back into it. So I don't know. They're going to go out. It's a nice story. It's going to be a quick story, but it's a nice story.
And again, you never know in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Books. You just never know. The Rangers President's Trophy curse. You just never know, Books. You never know.
You never know. You never know. But I wouldn't be betting my golf membership on this one. I think this one's going to be five games and done. But I hear what you're saying. No question.
Gentlemen, sweep. Real quick, too. Your former team taking on the Lightning. What kind of bloodbath is that going to be?
It's going to be brutal. It's going to be so fun to watch. And it's going to be brutal right out of the box too, you know? So, you know, this is, don't forget a couple years ago, Panthers broke through, won a round, and then they got it handed to them by the Lightning in the second round. So lots to prove here, and it's good. Another series that's good for the game, good for the state of Florida. I'm going to be watching that one really closely. But that's going to be really mean. It'll be interesting to see how much injury comes out of that and what they have left in round two, whoever wins that series.
Oh, now you jog my memory of something we talked about earlier on the show. I just want to get your opinion on this. And again, we always appreciate when you take the time to join us. Nikita Kucherov hit 100 assists. You know, we saw McDavid do it. Now Kucherov does it. Can you think of a superstar player who looks like he's not trying out there, who gets all the points like Nikita Kucherov? Like the last guy I remember, Mario Lemieux just coasted out there, Books, and all of a sudden he has 4 points. And you're like, when did that happen? He just scored 4 points. But Kucherov looks like he's floating out there, maybe takes a couple shifts off, then boom, 3 points on the night. Is he the guy that you look at, you're like, wow, he just keeps getting it done. It doesn't look like he's giving maximum effort. McDavid, you know, flying out there. McKinnon just ripping through defense and scoring goals. Then you got Kucherov.
Looks like he's got a dart hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I mean.
No, it's crazy. I mean, the dart hanging out of his mouth, you know, that's funny because that in old Russian hockey, that's exactly what it would have been, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Outside just hauling off on a dart or a cigar in between periods, whatever. I don't, you know, it's hard to, listen, guys, he had 144 points. He finished plus eight. Like, just digest that for 1 second, okay? This elite talent, this outstanding scorer, it must be frustrating to coach him on any given moment, but the fact of the matter is he can take over a game, and he's a difference maker. I mean, he outscored Braden Point, I think it ended up being by almost 60 points, 55 for sure, somewhere around there, as the second leading scorer on the Lightning. So did you see him walk into the rink? I know what he said quickly here, and I'm foaming at the mouth, but
no,
did you see him walk into the rink?
Yep. Unbuttoned, no tie.
Yeah. Just kind of, you know, I bet you had the flippers on. Like the guy just walks in like it's just another day at the office, you know. Anyways, he's super elite. You know, over 50 points on the power play. You know, it's fun to watch, but but it can leave you wanting more at times. There's no question about that.
Yeah, 54 points more than Braden point. Just 54.
54 points more than the second. That's it. Like, that's another body. That's another player. So if he's making, think about that. If he's making 10, I don't know what he makes. If he makes 11, 5, and he's 54 points ahead of the next guy should have been making what? 5?
Yep.
He's just made $16 million worth of offense right there.
That's crazy. And he's only 9.5 too, which is a very cap-friendly contract.
Of course he is, because it's in the state of Florida. Florida. The rest of it, right? So, exactly.
Jason
Those
Bukala,
damn Bolts, man. They just refuse to die.
Jason Bukala, Sportsnet NHL scouting analyst, the Pro Hockey Group, former director of scouting the Panthers. Books, always a pleasure. Thanks for this, pal.
Enjoy Finland, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, boys. Hey, give me a call over there in Helsinki. I'll give you an update on what I'm looking at for some of those Flames slots in the first round.
We absolutely will do that. Thanks, pal. Safe travels. There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Always.
There's anyone
stuff.
That we could just literally go for a whole hour with.
Yeah, and then he makes us smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're a bunch of dumbos. So he makes us smarter right away.
Yeah. Seeing that on the text line.
Yeah. Some dumbos. Speaking of which. This is a Maddie and Patrick production today. because Arthur Blank was allegedly called by Bob Kraft saying, hey, don't hire Bill Belichick. He's unhireable. Who is the most unhireable
person?
I know
everything you've watched of the Patriots for the last 2 years says this is a good idea, but trust me.
Don't go watch all those Super Bowls he won. Don't do that. Nope. Just think the last couple years. In that vein, who is the most unhireable person at Sportsnet 960, The Fan? You give us a reason, maybe even call in 403-240-4444. You'll win tickets to the Roughnecks game on Saturday. Their season finale against Panther City, who apparently are from Fort Worth, Texas,
yes,
according to Patty Dumont.
Mm.
Who is the most unhireable person at Sportsnet 960, The Fan? 960, name and location. We'll do our lock of the day as well. There's some Europa League we got to look at. It's the Big Show, Russ and Rose.
Great.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russ and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We'll wrap up today's edition of the program with our lock of the day, courtesy of Metal Supermarkets Calgary. Tomorrow, big day. The roast of me in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yep.
A little change of plans. It'll be Brent Cron and Julian McKenzie in studio taking shots at me.
Yeah. It's good. We get
with you and GVP and Patrick taking shots at me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Are you excited for your portion or you get to?
Oh, I have a lot of my
stage.
I have a lot of my stuff written already.
Yeah.
I had last weekend, I don't know, the creative juices were flowing for some reason in the morning, I just started writing stuff.
I feel pretty good about what I have. I got to tighten some things up, but...
I think it'll be cringy. I think it's going to be an hour of cringe tomorrow, or at least half an hour of cringe. We're not comedians, for Christ's sake. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say it that way.
Speak for yourself.
God's sake. Not even. Don't even mention that. But I... Yeah, it's the same thing. Sorry. Yeah, one's the dad,
nice,
one's the son.
Nice save.
One's the dad, one's the son.
Real good.
So,
Christ's sake sounds worse.
I know it does. I'm sorry. I know it does. I'm sorry. Don't put that in the plays.
Or do. I don't
know. No or don't.
You can take that out of the podcast.
Take it out of the podcast. All right. I have a potty mouth. I'm surprised I don't drop F-bombs more. That's like one of my favorite words to use.
Oh, God.
I know Patty here drops the S-bomb like it's going out of style. Yeah,
casually.
Yeah, he just casually throws it in.
That's just in conversation nowadays, I think.
But the F-bomb's like one of my favorite words.
It adds a little bit of
I like it.
I like the C-word. Can't say that, though.
You shouldn't even admit that.
That word's
different.
That word cuts through a room like a laser.
Oh, it does.
The Flames play their...
Australians love it.
Vaporizes everything in its
back. English love it, too. Ooh, they love it, too. So, the Flames play their season finale tonight against the Sharks.
Mm. Of San Jose.
Yes.
San Jose.
Weig Dog, can he get to 20?
Uh-huh.
Blake Holmes, is he going to play? And if he does, can he get to 30?
Cold Dog?
Can Kadri score his 30th? I kind of like that.
Nasdaq.
Are they going to announce the Kuzmenko extension before or after the game?
Ten by eight, right?
Don't even think they can, but that's fine. I don't think that's
allowed.
We'll
have to wait till July. We'll have to wait till July 1 for the extension.
But by all means, it's a good thing to wait for.
That's my favorite thing on Flames Twitter right now. It's like, whoa, should we keep Kuzmenko?
I just refer to my tweet.
Yeah. I just want to point
ten
to
by
it.
Eight.
Ten
yeah.
by eight. Let's
yeah,
go.
Just refer to my tweet that I sent out at the game. When I had a couple of drinks and we were watching the Ducks.
Yep. Big question.
I'm just like, point to the tweet. Everybody's like, should we keep
Here's the thing.
Go?
I wouldn't do anything.
No.
I would just say, hey, you know what? You got one more year left on your deal. Come, you can play it.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
What about Sharon Govich?
Exact same thing.
Same thing.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
I would be in no rush to sign either of them.
Yep. But who knows?
They're both here for next year.
Yep.
So that's great.
Yep.
I like Sharon Govich. I think he's got a little bit more like staying power than Kuzmenko, maybe.
Think he has some more upside, too?
No.
30 goals, pretty much a ceiling.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with
good.
It. I think they're both kind of like, one's maybe like a 60, 65-point guy, and one's probably like a cap out at like an 85, 90-point guy on the right team
with
the right opportunity.
Okay, 960, 960 name and location. This isn't my idea today. I'm throwing it out there. Okay, I'm already kind of washing my hands of this whole situation because
Why are you washing your hands? What are you worried about here?
I'm not worried about anything because
washing your hands of it, and you rarely do that. So what are you worried about?
I'm not worried
here?
About anything. You know, I don't worry about anything here. So, I wanted to go, hey, Bill Belichick said he's never had a cup of coffee in his life. I wanted to go down that route, and you guys are like, nah, let's do this where Arthur Blank, apparently.
We could have had Texty read a whole bunch of texts that said, like, orange juice and coffee.
Which is weird.
And, like, tea, and it would have been boring.
Okay, but, so apparently Bob Kraft, after he got a massage.
The owner of the Patriots, in case you don't know.
Yeah, from, what was the place called? Something of
I
Orchids?
Don't know. We don't need to go down that
where
that
he went.
Far. It's it's an irrelevant fact. You're getting distracted.
So he got a massage at some strip mall. Okay. And then he called Arthur.
Orchids of Asia Day Spa.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I got a kink in my neck. So apparently Bob Kraft called Arthur Blank and said, hey, you know what you shouldn't do? Hire Bill Belichick. That dude is unhireable.
Bad egg.
Don't do it.
Don't do
the
it.
The guy's
just
unhireable.
Just a jerk.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't look at his resume. Just don't hire him.
We're asking you a 960, 960 name and location. If you want to call in, 403-240-4444, by all means, feel free. Who is the most unhireable person at Sportsnet 960, the fan? Because if it wasn't for this gig, like, what are we doing here? Who's unhireable?
Well, most of us, apparently.
Yeah. Who is it?
Yeah.
How many texts you got rolling in here?
They continued to
got
come
a lot.
In.
I got a few here. I got at least 10.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
All right. What do you got? What do you got for us? Let's go. Is Texty back?
Yeah, he's back.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Wow.
Okay, good. Texty McTexerson.
Excellent news.
Our Sportsnet 960 defend texting robot is back. He had a little bit of illness yesterday.
Didn't know what to speak.
Okay, he's back. Okay.
Geo in Airdrie. Most unhireable is easily Pat Steinberg. I couldn't imagine him having a real job, or any job really. Other than on the radio. Love Pat, though.
Okay.
Love Pat, though.
I don't know what he would do for another job.
That's what I mean.
I think...
work at a gym?
Maybe. Yeah, he'd
wipe down the equipment?
Rub down the equipment and...
And not use the leg press.
Equipment? Yeah, no, never.
Never the squat rack?
No, never seen it. But find him by the bicep rack?
Okay.
Oh, baby.
Do some curls, some hammer curls?
Yeah.
Okay.
That or he would be... like a sommelier.
Oh, yeah.
He's got one in his family, and I know he was trying to do the beer one that I forget what it's called.
Beer sommelier?
It's got a name, dude. Yeah. Like, but yeah, great job. Thanks for your help.
Beer mollier.
Beer mollier.
Sommelier doesn't even have the word wine in it, so what are you doing?
I don't know. I was throwing it out there.
Expect it better.
But I know that exists.
Okay. Thank you.
It feels made up, though.
A master cicerone?
Thank you.
There you go.
That feels solely made up.
What? Right. Everything's made up.
Of course. All right, keep them rolling.
James in Cranston. Jeff, the chain-smoking tech support guy, if he still works there.
Yeah. Oh.
Jeff! Jeff, I don't even think he smokes.
I actually think he quit.
He quit,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, good for
yeah.
him.
But
I think he's still.
That's the occasional one, you know. When things are a little rough.
A little stressed.
He's probably got the old pack in the drawer.
He's too stressed out, Jeff.
Yeah, he's high strung.
Is it the Ben Affleck gif?
Yeah.
Is it that one when things are going awry at the station?
The Dunkin' Donuts gif? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Jeff.
He has been happier, though, of late, though. It feels like he's been better. Happier to do stuff.
I just think yeah. we haven't seen him a lot.
That's fair. He's got other guys doing other stuff, doing the dirty work.
Yeah.
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 He doesn't have to. He's just dealing with other problems that aren't ours. So maybe. We have no idea.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is somebody trying to cut a monitor cord over there at 6'6"?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Weird.
That was
weird.
Yeah, like, what? Is somebody doing that on purpose? Yeah, like, sabotaging like, stuff?
Trying to steal the monitor? Why'd you just unplug
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I saw the email.
No one's going to notice.
I saw the email. Like, don't try to cut cord. No kidding.
Yeah,
no,
we got a corporate email to our entire office. Please stop trying to cut the cords to your computers.
Listen, I don't know which emails... I don't know which internal email I like the more, that one of our elevators isn't working.
Yesterday, it was stuck on the third floor.
Or the back door exit isn't working.
Did you see the sign that we have on the elevator here at work? Boy, is it tempting. It says, don't go in the elevator even if the door opens.
No!
Should this elevator open, please do not use. And I was like,
the trap door now.
That's a nice way to get out of a show.
Speaking of which, I watched a video on the internet.
Elevator.
I watched a video on the internet. I was skeptical. It was on Instagram on how to survive if you're falling down in an elevator.
I believe like as many Hail Marys as you can fit in.
No, this is what you do. And this might save somebody's life, apparently.
I bet.
What you do is don't try to jump in time when you're actually going to hit the ground. Because then your head would actually hit the top of the elevator. Your best way to survive an elevator falling down multiple floors is to lie down on the ground and put something behind your head, like your backpack.
Like lie on my back?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like the idea of trying to time it is ridiculous to me.
Right. But that is your best way to survive.
How would you time it? How would you have any bearing of when you're going to hit the ground?
Well, exactly. But that's your best way, apparently, to survive, is lie down on your back and put something behind your head to cushion the blow.
Okay.
You might actually survive then.
Write that down. Falling elevator.
Also, if you're ever in a plane crash and you're bracing yourself
Hold on, still in the falling elevator, lay on my back.
Yeah, and cushion your head with like something, your backpack, your jacket or something.
Cushion with something. Okay, and now airplanes?
So if you're ever in an airplane crash, I saw this on Twitter too.
Good.
Okay. While you're in the brace position.
Wait, Twitter or Instagram? It's important.
Instagram.
Okay, good.
Use your non-dominant hand to shield your head. To use your dominant hand to undo your seatbelt when you have to get out of the plane.
That makes sense.
Okay. So remember dominant hand and the dominant hand seat belt.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote this all down, so that's good.
Right.
Seat belt. Period.
Okay.
All right. Another text?
Yeah, let's go.
Colin in Woodbine. The most unhirable at Sportsnet 960 is Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose because legends aren't hired, they own the place. Patty and Matty for the win, boys.
Who was that from?
That was Colin.
My guy.
Oh, wow.
My guy.
Okay.
What it do, Colin? That's true, actually. You don't get hired if you own the place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Neil in the Northwest. Most unhirable is definitely TG. Toronto, Georgie.
TG.
Okay. Old TG.
I like that.
No reason, just
TG.
Okay.
You should play the guy who says he doesn't like Texty McTexterson. So you should definitely play that text.
Yeah, okay.
That just came in.
Who said that?
He didn't put a name.
Oh.
With my dumb little games. That sometimes have nothing to do with sports and stupid names for things like texting robot.
Oh.
But then we could have had the texting robot read his text.
I'm going to do it right now.
Okay. Well, no, it's fine. You can keep them rolling.
Okay.
Some of these are not.
Jamie in Airdrie. Matty Rose is definitely the least hireable person at 960. First off, he can't keep his head up crossing the street while carrying Doritos and Mountain Dew. Okay, secondly, He has a very low work ethic, as he would much rather ride a scooter around downtown than put the hard work in behind the mic.
Okay.
Lastly, he is just too damn perky in the morning. I mean, what kind of a freak can be happy at 5 a.m.? God love ya, Marty Rose.
I really felt like I was hitting the wall the last two shows, like midway through the show, just like absolutely ran into a wall. I fell asleep during a commercial break on Monday or on Tuesday. Today, though, whoa.
Listen, they don't know sour Matty Rose when he doesn't get his sleep when he comes in the morning.
That's a good Texas comment.
That's the opposite of cheerful.
No name, but you're all unhirable if you can't use your left hand to take off a seatbelt.
That's a good point, too.
I never said don't. It says,
I will
save your dominant hand because you might need it.
Matt and Copperfield.
Save it. Like, when I only get one use, it's like I'm using it in a video game. Well,
if you're going to crash in a plane, you don't know what kind of injuries you're going to sustain, right? And by the way,
your logic
by the
is
way,
completely
no, hold on.
Flawed.
You're more likely to survive a plane crash, by the way, in the back of the plane than you are in the front.
That makes sense.
What if it splits?
That's a really
I'm
good
just
point.
Saying statistically,
what
the
if
odds.
It splits and everybody's like thrown?
Okay. Now, the important thing here is it splitting vertically or horizontally?
Oh, it's going to be split right in the middle.
Okay.
Right down the middle.
I assume that. Yeah. But is it splitting long way?
A long way.
Is it splitting half?
Yeah,
okay.
Up, down. Down. Yeah.
It's splitting the aisle.
Yeah, so somebody's getting... Not,
I feel like that's the most unlikely way for a plane to fall apart, just to split right down the middle. I feel like it snaps in half, like front and back,
if it
more
hits
often
something,
than
like another plane or something.
What are the?
This yeah, grim. That happens all the time. Yeah, it's a good
right,
point.
Okay, go ahead.
Shout out Boeing.
Okay.
John in West Springs. George is the most unhirable because apparently he gets 17 weeks of vacation.
Listen, John. I.
that's a jealous text.
Jealousy is not a good color on you. It's definitely not a good color on you. Listen, I didn't want to be away Monday, Tuesday this week. I was dying.
It was ill. It was illness.
You think I wanted to be away? Did you not hear me? Like, trying to suffer through... coughing up a storm?
Yeah, it wasn't vacation. It was
deathbed
time away.
Yeah, sliding in my bed, hacking up unspeakable stuff for about 2 weeks. What a time I had. Still feeling a little bit. All right.
Scott in Yorkton, I think GVP is the most unhirable because he is so good and so valuable to this team that he is going to price himself out of the market.
Oh, thank you.
I disagree.
Yeah, we really didn't need to play that one.
How about another one?
Oh, we're lying today.
Adam in Calgary, the least hireable person at 960 is GVP. You can't trust anyone who won't tell you their full real name. I only hire open books.
No, you never know.
Yeah, a little bit of mystery.
Yeah.
Hire me, though.
Okay.
Jacob in Auburn Bay. Cron, he says English is his first language, but he stumbles over his words like a newborn foal. He promotes betting on amateur sports. You'd think with his extra pounds he could stop the puck once in a while, and he smells like fish.
what the?
What's the last one?
Fish. He smells like fish.
Like,
why?
Because he's got fish. He has a lot of fish.
All right, one more.
Fish.
Okay.
All right, one more.
Stupid.
One more?
Yeah.
Chris in Airdrie. Matty Rose after his marble mouth incidents.
Well, there has been many.
You should have heard me on Monday or Tuesday.
You got to be a little more specific.
We were too sporty on Tuesday.
Was that the problem?
It was way
how
too
dare
sporty.
You guys?
Way too sporty.
How dare you be way too sporty?
I was not station? Ready to come back on this show. I'll tell you that for free.
Which one do you like there? You got any more?
I got two more.
We
got
to go. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got two more. All right.
Matt in Cochrane. George is the Pontius Pilate of Fan 960.
The what?
Pontius Pilate?
The guy who betrayed Jesus?
No, the guy who set up Jesus' like crucifixion.
Yeah, he betrayed him.
Really?
That's incredible. No, that's
Judas
terrible.
Betrayed him.
Yes. Oh.
Okay, if you're going to blast me religion-wise, like that's probably a good way because I don't know.
Pontius Pilate. Yeah,
so. I thought me and JC had a good relationship. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know why I was trying to tell you what happened in the Bible. That was a terrible call on my part.
Ryan from Bankview. It's not Pat, but please play that clip of that one caller. It always makes my week.
Do we have the clip ready?
Oh, no, I don't have it. I was looking if you had it. But,
I have to go find it. Hold on. Okay, hold on.
We'll find it. Okay, which one did you like? What did you pick today?
Oh, Jacob and Kron. That was a good one. Because
he smells like fish?
Yeah.
All right, play that one.
Yeah.
Jacob in Auburn Bay. Kron, he says English is his first language, but he stumbles over his words like a newborn foal. He promotes betting on amateur sports. You'd think with his extra pounds he could stop the puck once in a while, and he smells like fish.
You know how much money he would have made betting on the Canucks money line? It hit almost all the time when he bet on them.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I just...
Can't find a line.
Yeah, they're hard to find. It's for a reason.
For a reason.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations. You're going to the Roughnecks game on Saturday against Panther City.
Fort Worth Panthers.
There you go. Congratulations. You're going to the game. You win. That's fun. Do we have tickets tomorrow or no?
No.
No tickets tomorrow.
That's it.
But we're doing the roast of me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So all you saying I was unhireable, tomorrow's your day to listen. Because the shots will be being fired tomorrow. Yes. And I would assume, I'm throwing it out there right now, think it's going to be a little cringy.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to listen to at points.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be that funny.
No.
But we'll see. Good. We'll see tomorrow.
Excellent.
We'll see tomorrow.
Forward to it.
I think I've written some gold, but it probably isn't gold. So we'll see.
Yep. That's only one way to find out, really.
There's only one way. You got to let it sink or swim. Let's do our lock of the day, brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. Let's get to Maddie's favorite, the Europa League today.
Mm. Oh, tell me about it, baby. Can't wait. What time are
I'm
we
going
watching?
There too.
What time are we watching sports in one. Europa? One yeah. in the yeah. afternoon? Yes.
There
no,
are,
no, no, no.
There
Nap
are
time.
Four matches today.
Uh huh.
And I think I'm going to go Liverpool is at Atalanta, who stunned Liverpool at Anfield last week.
Yeah, they got
3-0.
They got to get three.
I am taking Liverpool to win today. Probably not going to get the three, win by three to send this thing to extra time, but I'm going to take Liverpool at Atalanta today in the second half of their Europa League quarterfinal match. Oh, lock it in.
I've got a preposterous parlay prepared for you, my people. We are going to go with the Flames all out hitting the milestone parlay. Unfortunately, I don't have Blake Coleman on my card because he's missed the last three games, so he's not available. But I am going to go Nazem Kadri to record his 30th goal of the season.
Hey.
Rasmus Anderson to record his 10th goal of the season. And Mackenzie Weegar to record his 20th goal of the season. All of them over a half a goal. The number is preposterous. I would not recommend you jump on this, but if they do it, we're going to be very happy.
Oh, yeah. We'll also go to the Europa League. West Ham taking on Bayer Leverkusen, down 2-0. They're heading home. I think this could be a game where Leverkusen finally gets a loss. I think West Ham could beat them there.
You think Leverkusen's going to lose today?
Yes, they got everything.
No!
I don't think West Ham needs a big game today, but I don't think it'll be enough. But West Ham wins to win, and the total goals to over 2.5.
Yeah, I think there could be a letdown here. They haven't lost yet this
year.
Yeah,
with all this stuff. And, like, if West Ham wins this game 2-0, it's going extra time.
Like, here's the thing about West End. It's not the East End.
Uh-huh.
And that's what everyone
knows. You know
what's
funny? West Ham is in East London.
Okay.
There you go.
It's, like, not that funny, but...
I can't wait till you got to talk about Copa America and Euro this summer. Go ahead, GVP.
Flames and Sharks here, last game of the season. When the Flames were playing against the Coyotes, there wasn't a lot of defense played in that game. I expect more of the same. I'm just going to take the over 6.
Okay. Lock it in. Lock of the day brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal.
My $10 bet's paying out almost $1,000.
So wow.
We're feeling good about
just
it.
Just 100-1. Located on 50th Avenue Southeast. What do you got coming up in Mucho Big Show?
Dave Pagnotta from fourth period.
Oh, cool.
SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. He's in L.A. That's why he couldn't join us in the early
part.
But he's going to hop on with me today. We're going to talk about the Coyotes' final game and what else is happening around the NHL as we head into the postseason.
So tomorrow we'll revisit our Sensible Flames takes at 7. We'll talk to Frank at 7:30. And then the roast of me at 8. Busy show tomorrow.
Lovely.
Have a terrific Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the Flames game tonight because you won't be able to watch it in a meaningful game till October. So drink it in.
Well, you'll be able to watch meaningful games on the weekend.
Meaningful Flames games.
Yes.
till October.
Yes.
So drink it in tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.